It is indeed a privilege to see you here today. It is an honor to be here. We know that there are those of our number who are sick. There are also those who are not here as they are tending the sick. And we need to remember them and continue to remember them and do what we can for them during this time. We also are appreciative of the fact that there are those with us who are not normally with us, and we're glad to have those who are visitors, even though we are knowledgeable of who you are, and hope that you can come and be with us on a more regular basis. The title of the sermon this morning is Preaching Christ. I know that's a pretty broad title, and we go to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 25, to reach out to our text or to use it for a text. Now, we're not going to take the time this morning to read all 25 verses as we will use them in the sermon. But when contemplating the book of Acts, we need to see that it's not so much a book of doctrine, but rather examples of doctrine being practiced. We see several different times throughout the book of Acts when there are those that are converted. Often people will refer to the book of Acts as the book of conversions. But examples are given us so that we might understand the directives that are given therein. But let us also consider the fact that wherever we look in the book of Acts, and in fact wherever we look throughout the New Testament, to see examples of doctrine being practiced, that it is being practiced after another event. And that event is the preaching of the gospel. When one begins to preach and teach, they cannot preach the gospel without preaching Christ. And we want to show that this morning. We want to ask a series of questions and provide those answers and give you biblical support for those answers, which is the way all preaching should be. We want to ask who is to teach or to preach, what is to be the content of preaching, and finally, what is to be the result of preaching. Let's begin by asking the first question and looking to our text, Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 4. Who is to preach? We might also include with that, who is to teach? Let's see what's going on in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there were was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. As we read these first four verses of the book of the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, we need to understand the context here. This is just following the killing of Stephen for preaching the gospel. And it shows that Saul was there. We know at the conclusion of the seventh chapter that they laid their coats at the feet of one Saul. But as we look at this, we need to focus on the fourth verse. We know the persecution that was going on, the onslaught of persecution against the church, and because of it, in fear of their lives, they scattered. And as they scattered, they went about to do a number of things. And the Bible could have told us the number of things that they were doing. They were taking care of their own, looking out for their families, and those sort of things. But notice what it does focus on. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It didn't matter which direction they went. They went taking with them the word. Now we need to understand that what has happened in Jerusalem is that the word was preached, and there were those, some 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost who obeyed the gospel. And it tells us as we continue to read in Acts chapter 2 that those were together and had all things in common. And there was a common bond there. And it was so deep and so strong that even in the face of persecution, and when they departed, many of them for fear of their lives, and many of them in a hurry failed not to preach the word of God. So it was the church who was doing the preaching. The scripture gives us the church the example and the directive to preach and teach the word in the face of persecution, or even when things are easy and smooth, when times are good to us. We need to preach the word. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we see why these things were being written. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Why would I pull this particular passage? Because of the phrase that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. When we come together in the house of God, it is to hear the word of God proclaimed. All too often these days, there are places which gather to hear something, but unfortunately, many of them do not preach the whole counsel of God. In our song that we sang before the sermon this morning, the second line of the middle verse says, "Go preach the gospel, all who will may hear. Through him be free from all fear. Bid them believe, to repent and obey, walk in the newness of life. Keep the light glowing to show them the way, leading from sin and strife." I submit this morning that preaching does these things. It calls to people's attention how that they ought to behave themselves in the house of God, how they ought to conduct themselves in their lives as they strive to be as God would have them be. We need to consider those such as we find in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. Here we have lepers who came upon the camp of the Assyrians, and they find it empty. Now, previous to this, they sat and said, "If we sit here, we die." That's probably a good sermon too. But in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9, they are saying, "We are not doing what is right." They looked at their situation. What was their situation? He says, "This was a day of good news, and we remain silent." There are many in the church today that are not doing what is right, because we live in a day of good news. If we remain silent, we're not doing proper. The scripture reads, "Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" We have today the greatest news that has ever been handed down to mankind. And yet, some, through their failure to live according to the word of God, are failing to preach the word of God. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul, to the Ephesian elders, commented to them regarding the things that he had done for them that was beneficial to the church. He said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house." This tells us that preaching is not just from the pulpit. It also is to exist on a daily basis. Now, it is the responsibility of the preacher to prepare a sermon so that as when everyone comes together upon the first day of the week, hopefully in both services, that he can deliver to them a message from God's word that will be beneficial. But notice what Paul said, "I've taught you publicly and from house to house." And so during the week, as he had opportunity to do so, he spoke to them regarding the word of God. That's why he could say in verse 26 of the same chapter, Acts 20 and verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Why was he pure? Because he preached the word of God. He gave them warnings. He told them of the vengeance of God. He also told them of the reward. We see throughout the Bible that warnings had been given one such place is Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 6. We see here that these are warning to God's people in the Old Testament, Israel. And how many times can we go back to the Old Testament and see warnings upon warnings upon warnings given to Israel? And the things that they were warned to do. He said, and again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That's why the Apostle Paul said he is debtor to all men. It's his responsibility to preach the word. That's why he could say to these Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 26, I've warned you. I've told you about the things that are going to happen. I preached the gospel to you, and so your blood is not on me. Now, you might very well be lost. And in fact, I think he told them of their own selves, some would arise, speaking perverse things. But his blood would not be on them. So who is it to preach or teach? It is not only to be the messengers of God who have chosen this work, or those who have specifically in the infancy of the church were chosen, but it's also all of us. We are to preach and teach Christ. As we go about to preach and teach Christ, what is the content of preaching? Again, we return to our text, and we see in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and following, that Philip preached Christ unto them. We have several sermons mentioned in the Word of God. We have many different sermons mentioned in the book of Acts. And not always are we given the content or the exact outline of that which was preached. But in every case, we are told that Christ is preached. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The content of preaching was Christ. Preach Christ unto them. Now, here is what is being said in this particular division of the book of Acts, that this Simon was there and he put himself forth as someone that he was not. He wanted them to think that he was of God because it benefited him, and it benefited him greatly. There are those today that are modern day Simons, and that they are making merchandise of people, putting themselves forth as representatives of God, and in so doing, causing people to be lost. But notice what happened when they heard the truth. Philip went down, he preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. Wouldn't it be great today if all of those that we came in contact with gave heed to the things we said? It would. But wouldn't it even be greater if the things we said were the things of the Bible? If that's what they knew us for? The content of our preaching? Notice, But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. We have no idea what words he used. It's just like when he went down to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached unto him Jesus. He began at the same scripture in Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. We don't have mention of baptism until the eunuch realized that there was water. See, here's water. What hindered me to be baptized? And we know that as he preached unto him Jesus, he preached baptism. This same theme was the theme of Paul, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. The apostle Paul went about preaching and teaching. He traveled about probably more than any of the other apostles. But he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." When Paul preached unto them, he preached unto them Jesus. And as we turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we see that it was also John's theme. John writes to the brethren and says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." They knew of Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus Christ as they spent time with him. They dwelt with him, and they listened to the promises that he made. They received that which Christ said he would send to them, the Comforter. And the Comforter guided them into all truth. And now this truth is being written down and recorded so that we might have it. The theme was Christ and him crucified. Again, we have to go back to Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 to see a definition of what it means to preach Christ. To preach those things concerning the kingdom. There are many today who will preach regarding the kingdom and talk about some future event, some apocalyptic thing that's going on or will go on. And they warn people that we got to get ready. Well, the truth of the matter is the kingdom is here. The kingdom is the church. And the Lord adds to the church those that should be saved, those who are being obedient to the preaching of Christ. We need to preach a number of things regarding the church, not just that Christ was crucified. You know, I have many friends who are involved in denominationalism, and they hang their soul on John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And they seem to think that that covers everything. They don't understand that he came to die to purchase the church, so that when we preach Christ, we're also preaching about the church for which he died. We need to bring to people's attention the uniqueness of the church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And people have a hard time grasping that. You can't tell me that little group that you worship with are the only people going to heaven. No, the church is universal. But it doesn't exist in man-made institutions. One body, one spirit, one hope. We need to make sure that people are aware of the organization of the church as we preach Christ. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we see this. There are many people who think that the organization is whatever we want it to be. I heard of a place that claimed to be the body of Christ that had deacons. I asked the obvious question, "Who are the elders?" "Oh, we don't have elders here." And I said, "I can't believe this. They had deacons, but they didn't have elders." We need to turn to the Word of God to see the organization. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. We need to make sure that people understand that the worship must be according to God's directives. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Christ even spoke these words, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must apply the truth. That also needs to be preached. As we preach, we need to discuss the work of the church. Oftentimes, as you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, we want to encapsulate the work of the church was to reach out to the lost. And that's a good way of saying it. But I think what Paul told Timothy there gets to the crux of the matter. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Oh, it's okay to get into other areas. We're going to talk in a minute about benevolence, about education, and a number of other things. And it's okay, and it's proper, and it's right to do these things. But if you do so without preaching the word, you've already run off the tracks. Preach the word. As I said, we're going to talk about benevolence just briefly. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, we see benevolence. But here's another thing that needs to be addressed regarding James chapter 1 and verse 27. As we read, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But notice the last part of it. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you do that? Through the word. And it should be preached. And we are to edify one another. It's often important that we see the need of our brethren and build them up. You see someone struggling, the worst thing that you can do is say, well, I've got my own problems. I'm going on with my own life. Hopefully they'll make it. The best thing that we can do is to encourage them. But the absolute best thing that we can do is encourage them through the Word of God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19 tells us, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. This includes preaching. What if all of the preaching that we received was negative in nature? Gloom and doom. Everybody's going to hell because nobody can be good enough. Very few will be saved. All of these things. It would get old in a hurry. People don't like to hear all negative preaching. And God did not design that we preach all negative preaching. He wanted us to preach positive things. The fact that we are able to strive for salvation. Christ is to be preached as he has all authority and he has directed us to preach. In Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 and following, as he talked to his disciples, he extended to them that which we now know as the Great Commission. The directive that should guide our lives. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In other words, I have the authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice this next part. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And as he gave them this directive, we need to look at it very closely. A lot of times people think that all we need to do is go and teach and baptize. Notice what happens after the baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. How does that occur? It occurs by preaching. And of course, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, we see the directive given to us in the New Testament age. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. do all by the authority of Christ. When we do the things that we do, when we answer to everyone who asks us of the reason of the hope that is within us, we should do so by preaching Christ. What is then the result of preaching? We can see what happened, that men and women were baptized. You know, the Bible says that in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, that the word of God will not return void. It's easy to get discouraged, especially when you're a small group. When you communicate to people the need for them to follow the word of God. When we preach unto people Jesus and they turn a deaf ear. Isaiah 55:11 says, so that my word, so shall my word that be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Why does the word of God go forth? To reach the souls of men. Is it going to save all men? No. It has the power to, but they have to apply it. They have to do it. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, a very familiar passage, we see that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And therefore, everyone who will submit themselves to God as his word is preached can be saved. And we need to close with a question. The question is, do you desire salvation? We need to, if we desire salvation, do what they did and then receive what they received. What they received was the promise of eternal life. People find themselves in different situations throughout life. There are those who have never heard the gospel plan of salvation. There are those who have heard the gospel plan of salvation and at one time have obeyed it. And then, for whatever reason, have stumbled and fallen, have separated themselves from God. The result is that each of those groups are separated from God. The Bible tells us, relative to the plan of salvation, that we are to hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It tells us that we are to believe. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We're told in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that we are to repent. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're told in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that we are to confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we're told to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how an alien sinner becomes a child of God. It's because someone preached Christ unto them. What about those who have not done so? The latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Therefore, we are to understand that if we do not remain faithful unto death, we have no crown. The Lord said to us through his word that we are to repent and pray if we have become a child of God and we have turned our back on him. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We are to preach Christ and him crucified. Then we are to ask folks to apply that to themselves and to properly obey. That's what I ask this morning as we open our songbooks to the selected song. Do you need to obey the gospel? Do you need to respond to the invitation? Because you at one time have obeyed the gospel and have drifted away. Come today and respond.